Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castile with a look at week four of the October 2015 celestial timings. And we begin this week on October 22nd. That is the peak of the Orionids that I spoke about at the end of week three. And so early morning on October 22nd, if you're up early morning, is the best time before dawn to see after midnight and before dawn to see the Orionids. Mercury is square Pluto, still at the 13 degree mark, and it's the last of the three squares that Mercury is making to Pluto due to the retrograde. The first one was September 9th, and the second one was September 24th, and then we have the last one today. And this, of course, is happening in the degrees of the Grand Cross that we've been talking about. So definitely worth tuning into. And just something to think about is that Mercury in relationship to Pluto three times can be seen as a process of deconstructing old perceptions, especially around relationship. So what needs to be let go of? And particularly in a world where we have lived with hierarchy, that relationships are hierarchical or have been hierarchical. If we look at the relationships of the parents to children, that's a hierarchical relationship, but a necessary hierarchy. However, in situations where there's maybe been a king or a queen to subjects, having a higher placement, people who have a lot of money as opposed to people who don't, the masters and the slaves, these are hierarchical relationships. And so part of the Mercury journey, this retrograde in Mercury, which won't happen again for 6 years, I think it's going to be six more years before we have Mercury retrograde in Libra. And of course, by then, Pluto will still be in Capricorn, so there may still be an opportunity for this to take place. But it's this, just taking this idea of how can we create greater equality. That's what Libra's idea is, and Pluto is about dismantling the old hierarchical structures that are no longer serving and are in fact disempowering for the masses of people. The challenge is for those who are holding hierarchical positions to let go and to trust that if they do that, they can actually have a better experience. There can be a lot of fear around that, and that's definitely what Pluto brings up, is that fear. But it is a necessary process to die to those old forms, to let them be deconstructed and dismantled so something new can come in that will serve everyone in ways that we really can't imagine. That'll be truly empowering beyond our wildest imaginings. Also, on the 22nd, the moon is going to enter Pisces, and is my favorite time for thinking about dreaming. What kind of dreams are we having in our nighttime dreams, but also our daytime dreams? What are we dreaming about? What images are coming through? And so something to just tune into while the moon is in Pisces. On October 23rd, Venus is going to trine Pluto. Venus at 13 Virgo, trine Pluto at 13 Capricorn. And this is really, again, everything we've talked about with this when Mars was trying Pluto, but now it's the feminine. It's the high priestess. It's high, not meaning hierarchical, high meaning high vibration. So the one who is dedicated to finding new, more sustainable ways of being in sacred relationship with the earth and with all life. Also on October 23rd, Mars is opposite Chiron. This is helping to support the healing of the wounds of the sacred masculine, particularly around the limited options that have been available to the masculine as well as to the feminine, but we're talking about Mars here, so the masculine in patriarchy. They basically said, you're a warrior, of some sort, you know, a corporate tycoon or whatever that might be, or, you know, that there's really the warrior energy that has been most honored. Father, king, priest are also archetypes of the masculine that have been honored in the patriarchy. But there's other archetypes, there's other ways of being. And so this is an opportunity to heal that so that the masculine can then come into a sacred relationship with the rest of life, with the divine feminine, with the earth, having healed those old wounds. And the moon, of course, will catch up to Neptune, which is going to further amplify and activate the dreaming energy. And on the 23rd, the sun will enter Scorpio, which will something that happens annually and then travels through Scorpio until November 22nd. And of course, whenever the moon is in, sun is in Scorpio, it is illuminating the mysteries of death and rebirth, of empowered life force energy, of being able to create and manifest where the passion is, where the life force energy is, where the aliveness is. And of all the archetypes, Scorpio is one that really loves to shake things up, especially if it's creating greater life force and allowing us to connect into that ecstatic life force energy. On October 24th, the moon is going to catch up to Chiron and just add to that healing energy that we already talked about. And then on the 25th, retrograde Vesta, and I haven't been talking about Vesta too much, but I did mention when Vesta went retrograde, actually when she crossed the zero Aries point and then went retrograde, and she is recrossing the zero Aries point on the 24th and 25th, returns to Pisces on the 25th, and will station direct on November 14th and then pass that zero Aries point one last time on December 3rd. And this is, of course, the High Priestess energy, and on the Aries point, this the equinox point, and this has a lot to do with taking action, committed, inspired action for a cause. And so perhaps this is about the cause of deepening our connection to the sacred, to the sacred that really is within all life. And how do we honor that? And how do we develop more of our own sacred relationship with ourselves and with every aspect of our life? On October 25th, Venus is going to be with Jupiter within like less than a degree by declination, very, very close in the morning sky. Mars is also close, like underneath them. And you can see it on the star map. And close to the tail of the lion, a star called the Nebula, that marks the tail of the lion and is not too far from the equinox point. So it is definitely I just think it's a fun star to connect to when you're there. So to see that Venus and Jupiter have reconnected, and this is like the third time Venus and Jupiter have come together because of the retrograde of Venus back in July. And so continuing to expand the mysteries. The first two meetings of Venus and Jupiter were in Leo, and now this one is in Virgo. And so the slight shift in emphasis from, because Venus is still working with the Leo overtone, so the self-love piece, but how to do that in a sacred way, how to come from a place of radical, radiant self-love, self-approval, self-acceptance, self-respect, that is also sacred, that is also honoring the sacredness of life, to realize that it's all interwoven and interconnected into the web, Virgo, the web, spider woman, weaving the web of life. So just something to tune into and to think about. And then on October 26th, the moon is going to make another occultation over Uranus. And this is the 16th time that this has happened since last year. And there are two more to go in the series, one in November and one in December, and then that will end the series of occultations that have been taking place. So again, in Aries, this is about taking decisive action, committing to something, and then really you know, putting energy and focus on whatever that is, whatever that commitment is, whatever that cause is, whatever that thing is. And also being open to see what surprising events might open up as a result, to help further that cause, to help further that mission, to help further growth and evolution of our, you know, as we move through this time of finding new ways of being in this reality. So also on the 26th, Venus will be at her greatest elongation, meaning she's as far from the sun as she can get, similar to what happened to Mercury, I think it was in the third week. And so this is her furthest reach, furthest stretch before she starts to drop back towards the horizon. Now, it takes Venus a lot longer to get back to the horizon than it does, and that won't happen until next year, than it does for Mercury. So just something to be conscious of, and just to notice how high Venus is in the sky, especially the month of October, but highest in the sky on the night of October 26th, and or the morning of October 26th and 27th. And then we're going to have the Taurus full moon on October 27th. And this happens once each year, that the moon is full in Taurus. And when it's a Taurus full moon, it's closest to the cross quarter point. So the exact astrological cross quarter is November 7th. This is the full moon closest, and many cultures worked with the full moon closest to the cross quarter point, or the new moon closest to the cross quarter point, as a time to celebrate. So they were kind of integrating the moon cycle with the solar cycle. And typically we celebrate Halloween on October 31st, and we celebrate All Souls Day and All Saints Day. All Saints Day, I think, is on the 1st of November, and All Souls Day on the 2nd of November, at, kind of in the cross-quarter window. But they are fixed points on the calendar, whereas cultures that were more connected to the seasonal cycles would have worked definitely with this full moon as their sort of Halloween point or holy point. And then on October 28th, the moon is going to pass by the Pleiades again, the second time this month, as it enters Gemini and enters into the sacred hoop. And Mercury on October 29th will be about 4 degrees from Spica in the morning sky, and the moon is going to occult Aldebaran for the second time, the 11th time in this series. So go back and visit week one to get more information about that. And one of the things I think about Mercury in this connection to Spica, last year Mercury actually passed Spica 3 times in its retrograde phase. This time it went retrograde before it got to Mercury. So this is kind of like a final pass of this series of retrogrades in Libra. Mercury is going to not be retrograde in Libra next year. I think it'll be Virgo next year. And so just something to be conscious of, you know, that this time of seeing Mercury possibly being able to see Spica in the morning sky, Spica having risen up before the sun. And this was something that was also very important to ancient people. When the sun was with Spica and the Virgin Priestess, this was associated with the stories of the assumption, or assuming, the sun assuming, or you know, the ascension, we could also call it, of the Virgin Priestess, of the Divine Feminine. And there were many ancient traditions that celebrated that. And that used to happen eons ago, long time ago, in August, and now that's happening in October. And so we can see that by precession, seasonally, this changes due to the way that the Earth moves through space. That's a whole other long story. But anyway, just something to be aware of. And the Sun will trine Neptune on October 30th, which begins the awareness of the slowing of Neptune to its station direct point on November 18th. If you have had planets between 7 and almost 10 degrees of Pisces, Virgo, Gemini or Sagittarius, you've been in a personal Neptune cycle, and this is an access point, a still point. Whenever an outer planet is trying the sun, it is virtually not moving in the sky. It is stopped. It's still. It reaches that still point, that place of all possibilities. And because Neptune already represents the field of all possibilities, this is a super potent time for tuning into that from now until November 18th and beyond, actually, when Neptune goes direct, because it'll still be very stationary in the sky probably until early December. So a time for tapping in, not through logic and reason, but through inner knowing that defies logic and reason oftentimes. So that brings us to the end of the month, Halloween, Happy Halloween, or All Hallows Eve, which Hallow is an English word that means holy. So Halloween is the holy night. And in the Celtic tradition, around Samhain, which was the beginning of their new year, this would be the time that they were celebrating their new year. And so definitely a holy time. We've fixated it on the calendar at this particular time, as I already mentioned, but definitely something that is in our collective consciousness to celebrate Halloween. And the moon will be re-entering Cancer and crossing the galactic cross on this time. And so it's really, again, about revisiting that time of how we nurture ourselves and each other and how we come together to support one another. And when we work in cooperation rather than competition, how everyone can thrive, not just a few, but everyone can thrive. That is the way to end this month and begin to also think about the new year from the Celtic perspective, a new year's time of how do we nurture and support one another.